Good morning. Good morning. Well, that was a little quiet for a wonderful congregation this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Excellent, excellent. It's exciting to be here to gather together for worship. It's always exciting knowing God has called us together as His church. And if you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. We're excited you're with us. And if you have never filled out a guest card, whether this is your first time being with us or many times, we would love to have a record of you being here. If you could fill one of those out and place in the offering plate, we would have a record of your attendance and would like to make contact with you. I have several announcements, as always, to kind of get things started before our worship begins, but I want to make sure everybody is paying special close attention this morning because we have a few announcements that need just a little bit more explaining to do. So if you could all be ready and maybe even have a little pen to jot down a couple pieces of information if you need to, but I'll make sure that you have time to write it down if you need. The first thing is this. We have some cards that are going to be available on each side, on this side and this side, on the little pews over here. One's a postcard size and one is more of a flyer size. And this is for our sled day. If you have the updated family ministry calendar, you'll notice that's January 4th. So it's not too far off. It's the Saturday after New Year. And that's a very exciting time. Last year, that really proved to be one of the most successful children's ministry and youth ministry events of the year. And so for us to come together as a church was just fantastic. It was really successful because the way you all came together. You invited people, you welcomed people in, you reached out to the community, you worked together for all the logistics that needed to take place for food and things to happen that day, and even 75-degree weather couldn't deter so many coming out last January for us to enjoy some time with our children, and it proved to just be such a successful event that we're going to do it again for our children this year, January 4th. But not only does that take planning on our part, it also takes us to reach out to others, and that's why we have these cards. We have over 200 of these cards and just about 40 or 50 of these. This is kind of to pass out to your place of business, people in your neighborhood, whoever it may be down the street, across the street, to give out. And this is to give maybe to your children, to take to a teacher this week, to maybe have them make copies or make an announcement. Please get the word out is what I'm trying to say. This is an outreach event on top of a fellowship event for our children. So the more we get the information out, the better the event can be and the more successful it can be in the time we have together with them that Saturday. And maybe, just maybe, it won't be 80 degrees. We'll see. This Sunday and next Sunday, just an announcement, Journey will start at 5:30 to butt up against the children's program tonight and the cantata next week. Put on your calendar a blood drive, January 17th. And we had a fantastic Baptist men's breakfast this morning and wanted to mention if any men are interested in being part of the Baptist men ministry, particularly with the Ronald McDonald ministry, please see Randy Keck for that. And he can coordinate how you can be a part of that ministry. And one last piece before Gary's going to come forward and share just a few words. After the service, if we could have some guys and girls help move everything off the stage here in preparation for tonight's children's program, that would be a big help. I know that's quite a bit, but just hang tight. We got a little bit more.
Thank you, Matt. And I plan to be out of state on the sled day. I don't plan to be anywhere near the sled day. Now, for those of you who may not know what that, those of you who chuckled know, let's just say I had a little event on the sled day last time. We had given blood right before, the night before. And I passed out and got to go to Central Carolina Hospital and meet my $3,500 deductible in one night. That's what they concluded was you don't give blood and then push little children down the sled. But I was having a ball until I went out. And so, but anyway, I'm very excited about that. I wanted to share just a moment. We need your input. We need your prayer. We need you to help us as we are considering doing something different beginning in February. We're blessed to have just a tremendous congregation at Flat Springs Baptist Church. When I look out and see you here today, I am so mindful of that blessing and all the work that you do. Drew just mentioned how many folks have gotten their GED, and we have Drew there helping do that. We have fingerprints all over this community, and I am so excited how God uses that. And I'm excited about how God is using our church. But I'm also excited about what God continues to want to do in the life of our church. So we've had conversations starting back in November with Debbie McFarland, who's our Sunday school director, and some conversation in the deacons meeting, the diaconate meeting then. And we want to continue that conversation. We're praying about the possibility of a church-wide experience that might help us continue to move in the direction that we feel God would have us to do. And so what we're considering, what we're thinking about and need your help with and your information is what would happen if we were to start, let's just say in February, and have a period of time where the Sunday school lesson and the morning worship tie in together. We use the same text. We use the same ideas. We have discovered a book by Stephen Machia, who is not in the Baptist tradition, but yet a very devout Christian. And he has come up with two books that he wrote. One was on a healthy church, and the other was on a healthy disciple. And there are 10 main lessons, and we would be asking that each Sunday school class with your teachers, we will provide the resources for the teachers for the Sunday school lessons to look at the following 10 things. And I'm going to do this very quickly. We'll have this in writing for you in your Sunday school class next Sunday so you can look at them more. But it's not anything new, but what if we were all doing it together, both in worship and in Sunday school? The 10 topics would be experiencing God's empowering presence, and that's talking about our private life, engaging in God-exalting worship, practicing spiritual discipline, learning and growing in God's community, commitment to a loving and caring relationship, exhibiting Christ-like servanthood, sharing the love of Christ generously, manage life wisely and accountably, networking with others in the body of Christ, and then being stewards of the life of abundance. Those would be the 10 lessons and the 10 messages that we would tie together and try to move forward as an emphasis. What we would need would be everyone who possibly could to commit themselves to being both in the Bible study at 9:45 in one of our Sunday school classes, and then also to be in our worship experience to get the full effect of both ideas as they come together of a healthy church and a healthy disciple. And we just believe that that might be a wonderful way for us to set the stage. After that, we'll go back to our regular quarterly classes. We're not letting our teachers off during this time. Our teachers will actually be the ones teaching the lessons. We will have two or three big group meetings maybe during this time. Part of that is to work out the logistics, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, but we have three different groups that we buy literature for from Sunday school: David C. Cook, Lifeway, and Smith Helwes. And they all three have different quarters. So when you try to get literature so we can have lessons for everybody and then to get back started again, it's been a challenge. But we've worked that out. We've been doing a lot of the preliminary logistics in case this is exactly what God is saying to us about how we need. How can we help you? If you would think about it, pray about it. If you have any questions, you can talk to your deacon or deaconess. You can talk to me. You can talk to Matt. You can talk to Debbie McFarland. But we would like to have your input. And then the deacons are going to meet again early in January. And we'll decide then exactly if this is the process. But we wanted you to know what it was about, what we're planning to do, and how we're planning to do it. I love the statement, what would we hope to achieve from this? We'd hope that maybe there would be a stronger commitment of us as a unity of Christ, as a church, and also as individuals, that maybe God would give us some goals from this process that we could move forward. I love a sermon I heard years ago about the shepherds as they returned from having seen Christ. It said, new men at old jobs. New men at old jobs. I hope that when we would leave this process and go back to our regular literature, our regular way of doing things, which we will do at the end of this session, that there would be some newness in the way we've done this together as we focus for this season together as God's people. So if you would, just if you've got questions, you can see me, you can see all those I've mentioned. We'll try to answer those questions, and we'll see as the Lord leads us and what we decide to do. But wanted to get that word out to you, especially with the start time in February, to have this over by the time school is out. Trying to get the calendars together has been a challenge. But we feel like God has done that. And so we think it's very doable, but we need your input, because if you don't participate and if you aren't with us, then it simply won't work. So we need you. And so we want to take this moment just to share with you. And now as we begin our worship this morning, on the third Sunday of Advent, let me invite us to come together for a moment of prayer. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for how you call us to be your people in the midst of all the people who live in the Deep River community. And Lord, as we move toward Christmas, we are so mindful of what a blessing this time of year is. God, continue to use us as instruments of your grace and mercy, and speak to us today through the children singing and the choirs tonight as they'll present those programs, and our fellowship time afterwards, and all the things that you call us to do as your people. And now, Lord, receive our worship as we offer it to you from grateful hearts of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you take a moment of meditation and prepare your hearts to worship?
On this third Sunday of Advent, we read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren and is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. It is amazing how the young woman Mary is fully obedient to the Lord, even though she doesn't fully understand the implications of what is about to happen to her. We hold up Mary as a woman of strong faith. Her faith is strong, not simply because she listens, but it is strong because she accepts God's word, even when she doesn't fully understand it. As we light the third candle of Advent, may we be reminded of our faith, even when we don't fully understand all that is happening around us.
Thank you, Angel Choir. Very good. Page 107, O Come Little Children. Let's all stand.
O come, little children, O come, one and all, to Bethlehem stable, in Bethlehem stall, and see with rejoicing his glorious sight. Our Father in heaven has sent us this night. O see, little manger, unhallowed light, a star throws its beam on the holiest sight. In clean swaddling clothes lies a heavenly child, more lovely than angels, this baby so mild. Oh, there lies the Christ child on hay and on straw. The shepherds are kneeling before him this fall, and Mary and Joseph salute him with love, while angels are singing sweet songs from above.
Amen. That's wonderful. Wonderful. I love seeing you all come down. I'll give you just a little more time to make your way. There's always room. And you sounded so good this morning. I'm excited about tonight, especially. I know you've been preparing really hard for everything that's coming up. Well, I have a question for you. You know, we've been talking about preparing for Christmas. We've been talking about preparing to celebrate Jesus' birthday, right? Well, we also know that we celebrate usually by giving each other gifts sometimes. So I wanted to ask you, is there a particular gift? Is there one special gift that you're really looking forward to maybe getting? Yeah, what would it be?
A dollhouse.
A dollhouse? I love that. What else? Yeah. What would be one gift that you hope you get? Not sure? Come back.
A DS.
A DS, good. That's a Nintendo, right? Good, yeah. What else? Something from the State College? NC State, right? That's what I thought. Right. Yeah. The PlayStation. Excellent. These are good. What else? Xbox One. Thinking. Yeah. Something else? Maybe some games for that? You want an Xbox 2? Yeah?
Xbox 3.
Good. What else? A state jersey. I like that. I like a basketball jersey or a football jersey? Basketball. I like it. What else? Let's get one, two more. A helmet? I want a helmet. Good, good.
A Sophie and a tablet.
Gotcha. Okay, so y'all have thought about this. You've got some ideas of some gifts you would like to receive, right? Well, we all know that it's great to give gifts, right? And we also know we enjoy receiving some gifts, but the best gift of all, like we're talking about this Christmas, is God sending His Son to earth here, and that's a wonderful gift that we get to share that information with other people. You know, I went on the internet because between now and Christmas, there'll be a lot of internet ads and in the newspaper about toys and things and gifts people and parents might buy, and I pulled off the 6 top gifts that children might be interested in receiving this year. I want to see if you can see these and tell me what these gifts are. Can somebody tell me what the top gift? So Hannah, what's that top gift? What kind of Elmo? I've learned there's many kinds. That's right. Big Hugs Elmo. You're right. All right. Now, what about this bottom one? Meg, what's this bottom one? I need to know about this stuff soon, so help me out. A Furby Boom. You're right. And you can actually use your iPod or iPad and everything with that. That was wild. All right, look at the top one right here. Can everybody see that top one right here? You can? Do you know what that top one is?
It's a Doc Mustuffins.
You're exactly right. Exactly right. I was learning. A Doc Mustuffins Checkup Center. That's neat. That is neat. You just saw that on TV? Yes, yes. What about this bottom one? The Nerf Rebel Heartbreaker Bow. So, fellas, watch out. Girls can get Nerf toys too, all right? Now, what about this top one? Yeah. What kind? You know? Nerf and Strike Elite. Elite. I'm learning the names of these. I'm trying. Very last one, right down here. What's this last one? Very good. Yeah, a Flutterby Flying Fairy Doll. This fairy doll actually flies. So that's good to know. All right. So there's a lot of gifts out there, a lot of popular gifts that children like you really would like to have during Christmas. But I want to remind us that we're celebrating Jesus' birth, and as exciting as it is to receive gifts and to give gifts, even more exciting, it's even better to know that Jesus gives us the best gift of all. And when we tell Jesus we love Him, we believe in Him, and we want to have our sins forgiven, we get the best gift of all, which is to live with Him in heaven forever. And it's really interesting. In Matthew chapter 2, John asks a question about Jesus. And I want you to listen to this question and listen to the answer that Jesus gives. It says this, John, while he was in prison, heard of the works of Christ, and he sent a word for his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the expected one, or should we be looking for somebody else? Listen to how Jesus answered. He said, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the people who cannot walk, walk, the people who cannot hear, hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's pretty exciting. Think about those gifts. You know, did you hear the question that was asked of Jesus? Basically, John is asking, are you the Son of God? Are you really who you say you are? And Jesus didn't have to come right out and say, yes, I'm the Son of God. He said, well, you tell me. Think about what I've done and what I will do. I've had people who cannot hear, and I've let them hear. I've given people sight who couldn't see, and even raised people from the dead. Now, that would be some amazing gifts to receive, right? But all that is nothing in comparison to the best gift of all, which we know is Jesus' love, and if we say we believe in Him and ask for our sins to be forgiven, we'll be with Him in heaven forever. So I want to make sure we're sharing that this Christmas, okay? Let's pray about that. God, we're so thankful for Christmas time, Lord, we get to celebrate the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ. As exciting as it is to give and receive gifts, may we always remember the gift that You give us to be with You in heaven forever when we say that we love You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week, okay?
Thank you. And let me remind parents that Matt's email address is on the back of the bulletin. If you'd like to thank him for giving the top 6 gifts, just in case they weren't on your child's list then. And Yeah, they knew them all, didn't they? There was not a one. He didn't stump them with a one. They knew them all. So let me invite you to open your bulletin and look inside at our prayer concerns, and you'll see our list is long. A couple I'd like to invite you to pray for especially. Tomorrow, Jack Riddle will be undergoing surgery at Pinehurst for a valve replacement. We want to keep him in our prayers in a very special way. And then this Wednesday, Matt Johnson is going to be having surgery on his shoulder. We'd like to keep Matt in our prayers. And then you'll see Bailey Wilhite, that's my granddaughter. She'll be having her tonsils removed this Friday. And we would appreciate your prayers for her in a very special way. And one note, that Bobby Wood, that is the family of Bobby Wood who passed away. We want to be remembering that family in our prayers in a very special way. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, each Sunday we're given that assignment of a prayer list. And prayer changes things. And you invite us to pray. We ask, O God, that you might strengthen us through the prayer, that we might be your hands and feet to those who have special need, that you might impress upon our heart how we could minister unto them. And Lord, as we continue to worship you in our faith, as we light that candle today, and in your light that the Advent candle reminds us of as we move ever closer to Christmas, may you, O long-expected one, continue to speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Instruments of Christ. They and the Angel Choir will be doing their program tonight, and I hope you'll come out and see what they've been working on for this entire season. Also, Friday night will be the Christmas Cantata. We'll be doing an excerpt from that this morning, and hope you can invite friends to come out from other churches on Friday. And, of course, next Sunday night. Page 100, Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's do the first, second, and last verses. Page 100.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for the blessings you've given us and here to sing your praises. We ask that you bless the children that are going to sing tonight and let their message be strong. And let those that don't know you open their hearts and let you in. We ask that you bless the offerings, tithes that we have to give today that you might further your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
And the people said, thank you, choir. Thank you, instruments of Christ, I think. Let me get that right to learn these new things. Yeah, instruments of Christ and also our angel choir. All those are excerpts, I'm sure, from their programs at tonight, Friday night, and Sunday night. Next week, you'll want to be a part of, and I appreciate the hard work that all of our folks are doing. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to John's Gospel, the first chapter. As we continue thinking upon the truths, today we'll focus on the light, verse 4 of our text. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His word. Would you pray with me? Lord, the light of glory, may it shine upon us brightly that we might reflect it brilliantly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd invite you to open to your hymn book to page 230, How I Love You. our hymn of decision, and mark that for the conclusion of our service today. You may remember in the Old Testament when Moses was in the presence of the Lord and he came down from the mountain, that he reflected the presence of God in such a way that the scripture says that his face shone. It was bright. It gave off a light. We use the word Shekinah glory, the shining light of Christ. Maybe a question for us to begin today, for me to ask, for you to ask, is how does God's light shine through me? I love the story about the little fellow that was in the program at church and he forgot his line. You ever been there and had that experience? Isn't that terrible? Don't you hate that? Don't you hate it when you're watching a program and somebody forgets their line and you know this is not a planned pause? Well, Mom had been helping him very hard. She had been working as hard as he had to learn the program, and she was trying to help. So she leaned forward and whispered, "I am the light of the world." But he couldn't quite hear. So finally, in a little louder voice, and he put some of it together, but not all of it, again she said, "You're lying. I am the light of the world." And then it clicked. And so he gladly and with a clear voice pronounced, "My mama is the light of the world." He got it out. You know, there's some truth in that. Isn't there some truth in that? You and I, we're the light of the world. We need to whisper in someone's ear. Oh, you say, well, no, we're not the light. And you're right, we're really not the light. We celebrate Christmas as the light, but we are to reflect that light. Folks should be able to confuse us for the light. We should reflect it so brightly and so brilliantly because it shines within us. There are at least three things I think people do with the light of the world: the light of glory, the light of Christmas, Jesus Christ. The first one is to reject it. You can reject the light. We live in a culture that has rejected the light. It's not even subtle anymore. You know how it was subtle a few years ago? It's not subtle anymore, is it? They're just pretty brazen. It's all foolishness. I was listening to someone who wanted to put up, they've come up with this holiday 3 or 4 days before Christmas, Festivus. You've heard of Festivus? And they were interviewing this guy on the radio, and he said, "I just wanted to put this silly thing I've made to show how silly religion is." Well, you know whose silly religion he was talking about at Christmas time? Your faith and my faith. That's who he was talking about. Us. Our culture. Reject it. There's a passage that Jesus gives, and I don't like to read it. You might not like to hear it. But let's hear it today. It's in Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus is talking to a person. They've been questioning his authority, and he asks this. He says, "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first son, and he said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.'" I wouldn't have ever said that to my daddy, but this guy did it to his. But it says, Jesus said, "But afterwards, he changed his mind, and he went. And then he went to the other son, and he said the same. And that son said, 'Yes, Dad, I'll go.' But he didn't go." He said, "Yes," but he didn't go. Jesus asked this question: "Which of the two did the will of the Father?" And they said, "The first." And he said, "Go and do likewise." I wonder today, am I reflecting the light of Christ? Have I said yes, but my actions are no? You ever wonder about that? Are we living out that faith that we say changes everything? You see, whether you reject Christ directly or indirectly, whether you just say no
I'm not going to be a part of Christian faith. Or whether you say, yes, I'm going to be a part of the Christian faith, but then don't do it. Both are disobedient, aren't they? Someone has written, and I don't know the author of this, but every line of this little poem they give a scripture for, I'm going to break the flow to give you the scriptures. You probably have heard it or read it. It's probably on the Christmas card somewhere. Mary had the little lamb. You heard that? It said Mary had the little lamb who lived before his birth. Self-existent Son of God, from heaven he came to earth. Micah 5:2. Mary had the little lamb. See him in yonder stall. Virgin born Son of God, to save man from the fall. Isaiah 7:14. Mary had the little lamb, obedient Son of God. Everywhere the Father led, his feet were sure to trod. John 6:38. Mary had the little lamb, crucified on the tree, the rejected Son of God. He died to set men free. 1 Peter 1:18. Mary had the little lamb. Men placed him in the grave, thinking they were done with him. To death he was no slave. Matthew 28:6. Mary had the little lamb. Ascended now is he. All work on earth is ended. Our advocate to be. Hebrews 4:14-16. Mary had the little lamb. Mystery to behold. From the Lamb of Calvary, a lion will unfold. Revelation 5:5-6. When the day star comes again, of this be very sure, it won't be lamb-like silence, but with the lion's roar. Psalms 2:12, Revelation 19:11-16. You realize we light candles counting down his birth, but we know he's coming again. My prayer is that there's no one here. My prayer is there's no one in Deep River. My prayer is there's no one in Sanford. My prayer is there's no one in Lee County, North Carolina, the United States, North America, the world, that rejects the light of glory. My fear is there are some. How about us today? What's our walk with Christ looking like? You can reject it. I pray you don't. I hope you don't. I hope I don't. The second thing is, if you choose not to reject it, then you respond to it. The light of glory, it warns us of darkness. The darkness is where sin lies. Isn't it interesting that even in the culture years ago, vampires couldn't stand the sunlight? You know, when you are full of evil, you don't like the light. In C.S. Lewis' book, The Screwtape Letters, it's a story of Satan talking to his demons, one of his great novels. And there's a young demon. They're struggling. He's having some ego issues. Can you imagine a demon having ego issues? But he's just not getting folks to be as bad as he thinks they ought to be. And C.S. Lewis, with his subtle ability, reminds me, and maybe you, that God doesn't measure sin the way you and I do. I think they're big sins. And as long as I'm not doing big sins, I ought to be all right. But if I can do little sins of disobedience to God, if I can just, you know, not be as faithful in my prayer life or my Bible study or my church attendance or my witnessing or my sharing or caring for people, just little things, that's okay. Everybody does that. Listen to this quote from C.S. Lewis as he speaks to this demon. He says, "You will say that these are very small sins, and doubtless, like all young tempters, You are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy. That's God. It doesn't matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to keep the man away from the light. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, listen to this statement from C.S. Lewis. The safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without subtle turns, without milestones, without signpost. Just ease us in to disobedience. Little things. If I respond to the gospel of light, I will realize that everything I do that is disobedient to Him is unacceptable when I respond to Him. The light of glory allows me to see those things in my life that I need to change, that God needs to change within me. I wonder today if that light might be shining in our hearts and lives, and there might be some area where we need to change. How will we respond to the light of glory who shines in the darkness? And finally this morning, we are to reflect it. We're not the light. Jesus is the light. But we are required to reflect it. The more we reflect the light of God, the more others will see Christ. That's so simple, isn't it? Let me say it again. The more we reflect the light of Christ, the light of glory, the light of the world, the more others will see Christ. In closing this morning, let me read you a story and ask us a question about the light of glory. It was the last session of a 2-week seminar on Greek culture, and the professor turned and made that ritual gesture, "Are there any questions?" He was greeted with silence, and then those 2 weeks had generated a lot of questions. No questions, the professor swept across the eyes, and then one, "Professor, what is the meaning of life?" And there was the usual laughter, followed by people going to stir. And the professor held up his hand, thinking they thought it was over, but he said, "I'll answer that question. Aren't you glad you came today? You're going to get the message, the meaning of life." He reached into his hip pocket and pulled out his wallet. He fished into the leather billfold, and in just a moment, he brought out a quarter-size little round mirror. And what he said went something like this, the author says. "When I was a small child during the war, we were very poor, and we lived in a remote area. One day on the road, I found a broken piece of mirror from a German motorcycle that had been wrecked there. I tried to find all the pieces of the mirror and put it back together again, but that was impossible. So I took the largest piece, this one. I scratched it on a stone until I made it round, and I began to play a game with it. I would find that I could reflect the sunlight with my little mirror. And my game was to reflect the light in places where the sun never shined, in deep holes and crevices, in closets in the house, places where there had never been any light. It became a game to get light in the most inaccessible places. Sometimes I'd have to use other mirrors. But I kept this little mirror, and as I've gone through life, I'd take it out at idle moments and continue the challenge of this game. As I became a man, I grew to understand that this was just not a childlike game, but a metaphor for what I might do with my life. I came to understand that I am not the light or the source of the light. I'm only a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I don't know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world and into the black hearts of men and change some things in some people, and perhaps others could do the same. That's what I'm about. That's the meaning of life. He took his small mirror, put it back in his billfold, and he walked away. The question is, are we reflecting? Do I have to convince us that we live in a dark time, spiritually speaking? I don't think so. But how can the Holy Spirit convict us that it is desperately important for those of us who are children of the light of glory to reflect His light every day, every day, in every place that God may take us? That light in verse 4 tied to light, and then verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. May we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in these closing moments of our worship today, we are reminded of your presence. We remember when we receive the light in our own life. Maybe we walked down this aisle or an aisle like it, and we gave our heart and life to you, and we promised to make you the Lord of our life, first in control and always listening and learning what you would have us to do. And maybe today we're like that son who said, we would do that, but we feel like, Lord, we haven't done it very much, or we haven't done it very well. Today, remind us that Mary's little lamb is also the Lion of Judah. And today is here in grace, but one day will come in judgment. And Lord, help us to reflect the light that all may know who you are, that none should perish, no, not one. In Jesus' name we pray. Our hymn is page 230 this morning. If God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, we want to invite you. And the Holy Spirit encourages us that we would respond to Him as we stand together.
For your goodness. Would you be seated for just a moment? Clay, come on up here. Austin, come on up here too. I got a phone call this week, and Clay, and I tell you what, you get here, and you here. And by the way, they've had their chicken pox vaccination, okay? Just so you know. And just so you know, I am not going to be at the back door. It's not because I'm mad, but I just don't want to share if there's any possibility that anybody could catch chicken pox from me. I don't want that on my conscience. But I am going to have them and their family to stand with them. But I got a call that they had been talking and thinking about coming to join the church. So we met this past Wednesday night. In fact, I was late getting to prayer meeting, and the folks liked to scare me to death at prayer meeting. That's another story for another night or another day. But we talked because I take this as a very serious assignment. And it's very simple. And in childlike faith, you can become a believer. But you got to begin with the right things. And after conversation and looking at Scripture with Mom and Dad there with me, we've all come to the conclusion that these two young men are ready to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, and they also want to be baptized before Christmas, and unfortunately that ain't going to happen. But we're going to make it happen as soon as we can afterwards. But very excited about their excitement. So today, Clay and Austin come professing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and would like to become members of Flat Springs Baptist Church after their baptism. Do I hear a motion that we receive them into our fellowship? I hear motions and second. And if all would join me in welcoming them to our church and into the kingdom of God, would you let it be known by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, Clay and Austin, we're going to be praying for you guys that you can be all that God wants you to be. I'm so excited about what God's going to be up to in your life in the days ahead. So at the end of this, I'm going to walk out there with you, then I'm going to leave you, and then I'm going to keep going, okay? But that's what we're going to do. Would you stand with me? And Mom and Dad, I do want you to come stand with them, if you would, at this time. Tonight at 7 o'clock, you'll want to be here. You'll want to invite neighbors. You'll want to invite whoever you can to come and be here. And then remember, this Friday night and Sunday night, as our choir has worked so hard, it's a beautiful cantata you'll want to be a part of. And hearing it twice might be twice as good, so plan to do that. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people who reflect His light, the light of glory, in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, we rejoice today at the decision that Clay and Austin have made. We are excited about what you're up to in their life, what you're up to in the life of our church as we move into your glorious future. God, would you speak clearly to us that we might be obedient? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.